Welcome back because the market is closed. Good Monday afternoon, everyone. Tyler Harris here with you for today's VRA Investing Podcast. It was a little bit of a rough start to the week. It wasn't too bad, but our major indexes did finish lower across the board, although we finished off of the lows of the day, which is always good to see. And if you've been tuning in with us here, you know we've been looking at a market that's come a long way to start off the year. So a little bit of consolidation here is what we've seen so far. That's healthy for our markets. We call this, and we've been calling it for a long time, the pause that refreshes. Not just this pause, but previous bull market pauses, and that's what we see that we're in right now. Since the October 13th lows, we are in a new bull market. And this is one of those pauses that we talk about often along the way, on our way through the beginning of this new bull market. And I'll cover that here more in a second. But we've got another eventful week coming up this week. First off, we get to hear Jay Powell speak again tomorrow. Not sure who really wants him to speak again, but I guess the Economic Club of Washington, D.C. would like him to speak again. This must not be a very serious economic club anymore, or else they probably wouldn't let Jay Powell speak, or let Janet Yellen speak, or you know, any one of those types of Federal Reserve cronies that they put out there. Because if you've ever watched some of these people speak, they're clearly not economists, so I don't know what they're doing speaking at an economic club. These people are bureaucrats through and through. Just like the rest, Republicans and Democrats on both sides, and certainly 99.9% of the people at the Federal Reserve. They're not economists, they're bureaucrats. So I can't imagine a bigger waste of time than an event like this. We'll tune in and give you some recaps there so that you don't have to. But one has to wonder, how much is Jay Powell really going to say tomorrow? Because tomorrow night, we've got Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, giving the State of the Union address as well. So we know that the Federal Reserve is team bureaucrat, team uniparty, which is what we have. We don't have a two-party system. We have the uniparty and a few outliers that they would like to get rid of anyway. But we'll see if Jay Powell decides to take it easy on the market tomorrow ahead of the State of the Union. And then when Joe Biden speaks, we really get the propaganda tomorrow night. So be prepared for some serious gaslighting, some flat-out lies from his speechwriters, because this guy doesn't write any speeches. He has no clue what he's talking about. So it's going to be, you know, an interesting day of speeches tomorrow, that's for sure. But earlier today, and one of the reasons I wanted to touch on this, I saw Jack Posobiec had a great thread, just really brief thread, but his pre-bunk of the State of the Union. And I thought it was pretty funny. So here are a few points that he pointed out as well, and a few stats to back him up. Biden, who has already claimed that he inherited the inflation problem, so expect to hear similar claims tomorrow. But as you hear them, remember that when Joe Biden took office in 2021, inflation was at 1.4%. In March of 2021, so 2 months later, Biden passed the American Rescue Act of 2021. And just like the Inflation Reduction Act has nothing to do with reducing inflation, the American Rescue Plan has nothing to do with rescuing America either. It is actually doing quite the opposite, driving our country into more debt. It allowed another $1.9 trillion in government spending. That is when inflation really took off. We would have had an inflation problem even if Trump had been elected in 2020, which he was. Of course, we all know that that was a rigged election. But in 2021, we likely would have seen a little bit of a spike in inflation. Nothing like the 3 months after the American Rescue Bill was passed. That's when inflation got over 5% on its way to going over 9% according to the official numbers. According to our work, that number, depending on where you're looking, it's really closer to 20 to possibly 30% plus that inflation really was, right? The CPI data, especially the CPI data, they put little things in there to bring down the averages. Like, oh, the cost of paperclips didn't go up, so that brings down the average here. You know, that's the kind of manipulation they do with this data. Now, I think that if Trump would have been inaugurated in 2021, then we would have had a little bit of a spike in inflation, but it would have been a blip compared to where it was after getting this American Rescue Plan Act passed in 2021. Again, $1.9 trillion in additional spending, and they wonder where inflation comes from. The second gaslighting that you're going to hear is that American wages are higher. While this looks to be true on the surface, you have to take into account the inflation that I just mentioned, because real wages, when accounted for inflation, are lower today than they were in December of 2019. So don't be fooled by that one either. He's also going to take credit for bringing down gas prices, right? Remember, the national average hit something like $5 a gallon. That's nationally last year. That was the peak. We're off the peak now. I believe the national average is closer to about $3.50 a gallon. It's about $3 here in Texas. But when Biden took over, gas prices were $2.39 a gallon. So since he's been inaugurated, the national average is over a dollar higher than it was then. So don't let him take any credit for bringing down gas prices and making America no longer energy independent, which was accomplished under Trump. But then lastly, he's going to try to take credit for the resilience of this U.S. economy. But if you're a regular listener here, you know our views. The strength we're seeing in the economy, despite Joe Biden's best efforts to tank it, are still the remnants of the Trump economic miracle. It has absolutely nothing to do with Biden. If Trump were still in office, you can only imagine how strong this economy would be right now. Even CNN cannot deny this fact anymore. They just showed a new poll that the number of Americans saying that they are financially worse off under Joe Biden just hit an all-time high. This poll goes back 37 years. Joe Biden is the worst president for Americans' financial well-being based off of this poll. When even CNN's reporting it, you know, you just can't deny it anymore. So get ready for a lot of that tomorrow. Remember some of those stats as your friends who, hopefully still your friends, right? We don't want to do the same things that the Democrats do to Republicans, burn bridges. You know, we'll still try to be friends with these people as long as they aren't too aggressive. And I certainly have a lot of Democrat friends. I live here in Austin, Texas. We're surrounded by them. Although I will say, I think that's a little skewed. People look at Austin as this far left blue city, and it really couldn't be further from the truth. There are so many good, normal people here. Maybe that's just on my side of town, but I've seen it time and time again to know it's very much still Texas here in the great city of Austin. But tomorrow will certainly be an interesting day. And keep in mind here as well, we're also just now halfway through earnings season. We're past the mega cap names, the really market moving names, but still a lot to watch for here. Here's a few of them coming up this week. Let me get my chart up here. Well, today after the close, we had Pinterest, which looked to have missed on earnings, down now. But tomorrow we'll have BP, Chipotle after the close. On Wednesday, we've got Uber, CVS, and some other big names as well. Later in the week, Pepsi, PayPal, Lyft. So we still got some big names coming up, but like I said, not the market moving names like we saw last week. But stay tuned, we'll be reporting on those here. Now, next up, let's take a look at our market action on the day. Our major indexes were lower across the board, but they did try to rally at some points today. The Dow even managed to go positive earlier in the session before finishing really pretty much flat on the day. It did lead the way down just 0.1%, losing 34 points on the day to 33,891. Next up was the S&P 500, down 0.6% to 4,111. Next up, the NASDAQ down a full 1% on the day to 11,887. And lastly, the small caps, Russell 2000 finishing down 1.4% to 1,957. I'll also point out here today that both the dollar and yields were higher on the day today. I mentioned last week that both the dollar and yields were at least nearing oversold levels, so we weren't surprised to see a little bit of a bounce here, especially with our market nearing overbought levels. But both of the charts of dollar and of the dollar and yields right now look like they want to go lower. And after a few days of gains, already hitting near overbought levels. So once we hit those levels, we expect our markets to get back off to the races and both the dollar and yields to get back to their lows of the year here. They've got a lot of resistance coming up if they continue to head higher from here. But overall, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we see this as a consolidation period. It doesn't worry us here. Again, the pause that refreshes. We're going to get pullbacks along the way in a bull market. And it's a healthy pullback after a great start that we've had to the year across the board for our major indexes. So no concerns here. As we see it, we're coming up on another pretty good buying opportunity. We'll alert you when we start getting into that range. And who knows, this bull market has been so strong. These pauses have been short and sweet. So let's take a look now at our internals on the day. Declining stocks beating out advancing stocks, roughly 3-1 negative on the NYSE, 2-1 negative for the NASDAQ, 52-week highs to lows. Continued to be our bright spot here. A little weaker than we saw last week, but coming in positive again. Now, I mentioned this on a few podcasts as well. I think we've already had more days with more 52-week highs than lows than we did in all of 2022. So an impressive start to the year from this indicator in our internals. Today, coming in at a combined NYSE and NASDAQ over 3-1 positive on the day. So really good to see. You just didn't see that in 2022. Lastly here, volume, which at about midday today, NASDAQ volume managed to go positive. So we had the Dow turning positive as a whole, and we had NASDAQ volume positive at midday today. That shows that people are trying to get off the sidelines here, at least dipping their toes in. But there's so much negativity out there. We see it in all of the sentiment surveys from AAII to the amount of money that is on the sidelines right now and money market funds hitting an all-time high last week. So there are so many bullish factors that have yet to come in to add fuel to the fire for this market. It's one of the reasons we remain so bullish here. Next up, looking at our sectors on the day today, just 2 out of our 11 sectors finishing higher on the day. Surprisingly, utilities, which as the biggest borrowers in the nation, typically when yields are higher, utilities are lower, but they were at oversold levels as well. So, and a defensive sector as well, so not a huge surprise. The only other positive sector was consumer staples, another defensive sector, really flat on the day. Up 0.02%, so nothing to write home about there. Our laggards on the day were communication services, tech, and materials. Finally for today, our VRA commodity watch, gold now up 0.2% to $1,880 an ounce. Silver now down 0.5% to $22.29 an ounce. Copper down as well by about 0.5% to $4 a pound. And oil, after losing over 8% last week, now up 1.3% on the day to $74.33 a barrel. Lastly here, Bitcoin now rallying off of its lows of the day, back to positive on the day now, up 0.37% to just about, almost exactly, 23,000 a Bitcoin. Folks, that's all that we have time for here today. Please be sure to subscribe to receive our VRA podcast every day at the market close. You can sign up at VRAinsider.com. Click the podcast link at the top, and we'd love to have you with us. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you back here tomorrow for the close.